This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. Titled this program, The Incoming Invasion. You know, earlier in the week, I talked about the destinations that Wisconsinites prefer to move to. If you've had enough of Wisconsin, maybe you don't like the weather, maybe you don't like the public schools, maybe you don't like the high tax environment, which is only going to get higher. The increased sales taxes in Milwaukee County, the city of Milwaukee, the increased property taxes, or the referenda that seem to come out every couple of years consistently. So I gave a list of states and cities that Wisconsinites moved to. As you would imagine, it is Florida, it's Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas, because those are much more favorable tax environments. And a lot of those states, not only do they have warmer weather, but they don't tax retirement income, so your retirement money will go a little bit further. I never accounted for the people that are moving here, because I always see Wisconsin as an exit. People are leaving Wisconsin in favor of other places. Come to find out that folks from Chicago are now choosing Milwaukee specifically as their destination. If they're fed up with Illinois and fed up with Chicagoland, they are coming here. And then, of course, I went back in history and talked about another time where we had a great invasion or a migration from people from Chicago, and they brought a whole different kind of big city criminal element, because Milwaukee used to be a sleepy little working town. Mind our own business. That was back, we ain't even have no tall buildings here. Before 1972, we didn't even have, that used to be the first Wisconsin building. Now it's the, what's the one? It's the white, it looks like Milwaukee's penis. When you're coming across the Home Bridge, it's the only tall building that we have. The Northwestern Mutual Tower is shorter. Because the Northwestern Mutual Tower was supposed to be our tallest building, but they changed the architecture. Is it the U.S. Bank building? I think that's what it is. So Milwaukee never even really had any tall buildings. A little sleepy little town. We minded our own business. We didn't really make national news for much. But then the Chicago folks came, and the people from Gary, Indiana came, and the people from Detroit came to take advantage of our unreformed welfare system here. And they brought a whole nother criminal element. So we've been invaded. Also talked about the police substation that is now going in on Water Street in the former location of the Duke's Sports Bar at 158 East Juno. Not going to be a bar anymore. It is not going to be a police substation, because that just makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? To staff that substation with police 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to hopefully mitigate some of the violence and some of the disorderly conduct that we have seen uptick on Water Street this summer in particular, because the council, they tried a couple of things. They tried to get rid of the food trucks. That didn't work out so good, because the food trucks said, hey, you're taking away our income with this policy, and a judge put a stay on that council order. And so now they're putting a police substation. So now that entertainment district is going to be invaded by local law enforcement. It's also sad because where there used to be a bar, there is now going to be essentially a supplemental police station, and that's a government building. That's a government entity. It's not going to be paying any property taxes, so we are losing revenue by putting a police substation there on Water Street. But whatever the loss of revenue is going to be, alcohol sales, you know, alcohol sales are taxed. So that's revenue that Milwaukee is going to lose, because it's not going to be a police substation. That's not to say the cops aren't going to drink. Biggest professional alcoholics you might ever see. Bankers and people in the finance industry, absolutely cocaine is their drug of choice. Absolutely. Cops, miserable alcoholics. Probably a third of Milwaukee police officers. Just cops in general are alcoholics. But here's what's crazy. Firefighters can out-drink cops, and firefighters can... A firefighter... I've seen a firefighter drink an entire bottle of Jack Daniels and then just drive 90 miles home. I was like, sir, how are you? He's like, oh, no, I'm fine. Well, what happened to that bottle of Jack Daniels? Oh, that one right there, the empty one? Yeah, that one right there. Oh, I drank it. How are you still standing up? What do you mean? No, I'm going to drive home in a little while. I got to get home. Got to get home for dinner. Shout out to firefighters. They run into the danger. You guys know that burning buildings are hot and they just collapse randomly. You guys ever really thought about this? Have you ever seen a fire up close, like a house fire? I've seen a few. There was a house that was burning down on 60th and Silver Spring. So on 60th Street, maybe two blocks north of Silver Spring on the east side of the street. Okay, I'm driving on 60th Street. And the house was set back a little bit off of the street, off of the sidewalk. It was kind of set. It might have even been a cottage house. You know, cottage houses are those little houses that are behind larger properties. I felt the heat from that fire in my car with the windows rolled up. I never experienced anything like that. I'm like, firefighters run into that? They're very heroic. Shout out to the firefighters. I look up to them. I couldn't be one because Sherwin, you got to go upstairs. Three people up there in the bedroom. You got to rescue them. I'm like, can we just text them and tell them? No, you got to go in there and carry them over your shoulder. Go get them. I don't think I can do that. So those are heroes. Not to say the police aren't, but, you know, we have our issues with the police. Nobody's over here talking about reforming the firefighters. However, let me also give this caveat. Not all of them are perfect. Firefighters are racist as hell, too, especially in Milwaukee. The Black Firefighters Union will tell you all about that. Very heroic men. All right, what else we got going on here? Yes. So can we be objective for a moment? Because I don't want to exploit propaganda. I know that some folks may have their fears about the democratic socialism. Can I just give you guys just objective information? And once I provide it, because I want people to be informed. Because it may not be the big boogeyman that you think it is. But to some of you, the establishment Democratic Party is the boogeyman. To some of you, the Republican Party, even pre-MAGA, was the boogeyman. I think it is appropriate for me to do something productive with my airtime today, because boy, oh boy, have we been all over the place, to give you guys some objective information about a specific political and economic modality that is being promoted very vigorously, and I would argue in some cases very effectively, to a cohort of American voters who are decidedly more progressive. Let's figure out what the fascination is. So we're going to talk about it in an objective fashion, but I'm also going to give you some very relatable analogies, because getting hyped up when a political party, and in some cycles, it's the Republicans. I remember 2010 when the Tea Party seemingly came out of nowhere and they formed this new, more further right version of the Republican Party as a response, an extreme response to Barack Obama. The YouTube poll. I never referenced the YouTube poll. I don't do so enough. So the question we asked, do you currently have health insurance? And I ask this question because the candidates that are running, particularly the two that are doing the worst, Joel Brennan has a health care plan. Fran probably has one, too. I don't know if David Crowley has one. But Kelda also has one as well. In fact, the only television commercial, broadcast TV commercial that I've seen from the Kelda Royce campaign is her talking about health care and wanting to make it more affordable, something like a Badger Care for All, which is our state-run insurance exchange here in Wisconsin. and her commercial is memorable, but in my opinion, this is just my opinion, it's not very effective because it shows she's standing in the streets and, oh, these Republicans want to take away our health care. It's almost like they're trying to kill us. And then in that moment, it shows an ambulance almost hit her, and then she quickly, it's all animated where she quickly is brushed off of the screen. It's stupid. And I'm wondering, like, who doesn't have health insurance? Now, I know that there are some people that don't. Absolutely. But there's ways to get it, obviously. There's COBRA, which I know is expensive. There's also the healthcare.gov, the exchange, more affectionately and derogatorily known as Obamacare. I had a discussion about Obamacare maybe yesterday or the day before, and one lady said, oh, Obamacare is more expensive than COBRA. You weren't doing Obamacare right then. So it depends on a bunch of things. Obviously, your income, and it depends on what kind of health insurance that you want, because you can be a high earner and get health insurance that's $40 a month if you just want to be covered for, like, emergency room, that kind of stuff. Or if you have a prescription drug regimen, or if you want your insulin covered or other types of medicines, like, you can pick your health insurance based on a bunch of different factors. What medicines are covered, what doctor you want to have, what specialist you want to be able to go see. Now, it takes some time, and you got to do a fair amount of research, but you can find health insurance that can fit into most, not all, budgets. But I'm wondering, because two of the candidates are really emphasizing having a health care plan, it made me wonder, are a lot of Wisconsinites uninsured? And so the YouTube poll question that I asked, I know this is not at all representative of average everyday Wisconsinites, because those of you that listen to this program, well, you are special people. You're very lovely. I have met many of you. You're all very attractive people. I can always tell who is a listener of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. You're very well built. You're very sturdy people. And the ladies that listen to this program have great hips. No, they do. They're shapely women. I've got pictures. No, they're very attractive. Xavier, we haven't done a Truth with Sherwin Hughes public event since you started producing. You'd be surprised at some of the lookers that come out. They come dressed to impress, too.
Well, they'll be at Truth Family Fest, right? Yeah, they'll get to come and hang out with Sherwin.
Hang on. Wait, I don't. Hang on now. Wait.
Give him a lap dance?
I got attacked at Truth Family Fest one year. I didn't like it.
Well,
I don't like being sexually assaulted. Some people think, like, oh, men, they don't care. Yeah, we do. If you're going to sexually assault a man, he needs to at least find you attractive. Because if you get sexually assaulted by a booger wolf, it's rape. Right? It is.
Is it?
Hell yeah, it is. Sherwin, come here. Help.
I guess I've been raped then.
And here's the thing about booger wolves. They're really fast. Like, they're sprinters.
And sneaky.
They got to learn how to be fast because everybody runs away from them. I brought my Jordans. I brought my tennis shoes. I knew you were going to try to run. Come here.
They'll take advantage of you when you're drunk, too.
You speaking from experience.
I don't know.
You know, in cartoons, when somebody starts running real fast and their legs are like a big cloud of dust?
Yes.
That's the booger wolf chasing you.
Yeah.
So y'all need to leave me alone at Truth Family Fest. Just say hello. I love when people say hello, but keep it moving. Don't.
Yeah, give them a big hug.
Don't be trying to throw that nappy dugout at me. They'd be trying to...
Nappy duck? What are you talking about?
Nappy dugout.
Dugout.
What do you mean?
That's a song that Ice Cube had back in the 90s. That's way before your time. The Snappy Nappy Dugout.
What is that?
What do you think it is? All right, enough about that. So do you currently have health insurance? Well, good. 86% of the people that are participating in this YouTube poll do have health insurance. So it makes me wonder why two of the losing candidates are stressing healthcare. Healthcare in the state of Wisconsin, having Badger Care for All, is exceptionally difficult to do. And I don't know if there's a lot of political expedience behind it, because I don't know if it was ever anything that was attempted by Tony Evers. And he had a fair amount of success. Like, there's probably some things he could have done to write. And maybe he did expand Badger Care. I just know that I didn't hear very much about it. It was not top of mind during his two terms as governor. But it's got to be exceptionally difficult to do. And maybe the two candidates who were doing the worst in the polls, which would be Joel Brennan and Kel DeRoy's, maybe they're tapping into a constituency that might be larger than I ever expected, those who are uninsured or can't even afford insurance from the healthcare exchange. But it's good to know that 86% of the people do have health insurance and 14% of the people do not. And I suppose 14% could be a sizable number, but I don't know if that issue is taking enough precedent for it to be a winning issue for either of the two candidates who are stubbornly remaining in the race for governor. Take a break. Come back. What is the economic plan if democratic socialists are anti-capitalism? And I think that that is a fair question to ask because, you know, we're used to capitalism. We really are. Is it exploitative? Yes. Can it run completely out of control? Yes. But ladies and gentlemen, please understand that any political and or economic modality that exists can also go out of control. I would argue that the Republican Party has gone out of control. I would argue that the extremes in the Democratic Party can go out of control. Capitalism, absolutely, it has become very exploitative and it has gotten out of control. What makes you think that socialism would not? All it takes is just a gentle movement to the extremes year after year, gradually, election after election, and then you will arrive at something that you will no longer even recognize. So we're going to answer some of your questions on the other side. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome back. What is the economic plan of democratic socialists or anti-capitalists? There's no single blueprint, but organizations like Democratic Socialists of America generally envision a gradual transition away from an economy dominated by private ownership and profit maximization toward one with significantly greater public cooperative and worker ownership. Democratic socialist proposals typically include expanding public ownership of sectors viewed as natural monopolies or essential services like healthcare, energy, railways, broadband, internet, etc. Encouraging worker-owned cooperatives, stronger labor unions, and sector-wide bargaining. Greater regulation of private companies and corporations, higher taxes on wealth and high incomes, universal public benefits such as health care, tuition, free college, child care, and housing assistance. And then finally, government industrial policy directing investments into targeted industries. Well, where does the wealth come from in this model? Because they don't like the wealthy people. They want to tax the wealthy people out of existence. And the taxes they get from the wealthy people, they will distribute to everybody else. But you got to have something that generates the wealth. So if you're anti-capitalist, capitalism makes wealth. The problem is it makes a little too much. It also has got to create some poverty. And so this is a legitimate question to ask. Where is the wealth going to come from if you're anti-capitalist, knowing that capitalism generates the most wealth? Modern wealth is primarily created through entrepreneurship, innovation, private investment, capital accumulation, risk-taking, because starting a business is a risk, and productivity improvements. These activities occur within capitalist systems. Democratic socialists generally respond by saying markets can still exist, entrepreneurs can still earn profits. The government simply captures a larger share of those profits through taxation. You already lost me. because one change in the economy might change the profitability of a business. You might have a tremendous year selling whatever it is that you sell at your business. One year, tariffs go up, there becomes a supply shortage, logistical issues, and now your profit margins have evaporated, but your tax rate will be the same. The government simply captures larger shares of these profits through taxation. Better education, healthcare, and infrastructure make workers more productive, which in turn creates more wealth. That's an absolute pipe dream lie. No, I said I was going to be objective, but it's nonsense, this stuff is. Let me keep going. The tension critics often identify. Critics argue that there is an inherent contradiction. If government continually increases taxes and regulation and labor costs and compliance costs, then over time, investments will fall, entrepreneurship will decline, wealthy individuals will move away, businesses will expand in other places, including overseas, innovation will slow, and the economy will weaken. How do democratic socialists answer this criticism? Oh, I love this part. They generally make four arguments. High taxes have existed before, and they point to Sweden, Denmark, Norway, and Finland. These countries combine relatively high taxes, extensive welfare programs, and competitive private industries. Here is what they fail to communicate about those countries of Sweden, Denmark, Norway, and Finland. And Bernie Sanders, in his runs for president, he often brought up, oh, we can have societies like those aforementioned countries, Sweden, Denmark, Norway, and Finland, where they're still capitalists. They still have markets, but the tax rate is very, very high, and then they invest those high taxes back into public education and healthcare, et cetera. But there is something that is not discussed, whether it be democratic socialism in those European countries or the implementation of it here, as one segment of the Democratic Party, the left flank, would have you believe. The historical discrimination in those countries is rampant. Because you have democratic socialism, you essentially leave racism and the disparities that it creates intact. Even, ladies and gentlemen, if you had a quote-unquote free healthcare system, where the healthcare facilities would be located would not favor black and brown people. It wouldn't. So the lack of healthcare access would still exist. If you could get to the doctor, yeah, it might be free, but they wouldn't be investing in opening more doctors and hospitals and clinics in black neighborhoods. We essentially would be fixed where we are at, maintaining and crystallizing the disparities. And the biggest issue that I have with democratic socialism, and this is where they tend to shout you down, what do you do about systemic and institutional racism? Well, we're going to give workers rights. You can give workers rights, but the white workers might still ostracize, disrespect, and threaten the black workers. And democratic socialism has no answer for that. I think that black people are much more concerned about the crystallized racism than we are about economic issues, because if you get rid of the racism and just level the playing field, we'll deal with the economy on our own. We're always going to be fantastic entrepreneurs, always going to be innovative, always going to be creative. It is what we do. It is the barriers of racism that democratic socialism has no answer for. Labor unions and strengthening labor unions and collective bargaining doesn't take away racism. It leaves it right where it is. And if you think there wouldn't be tiers and hierarchies within that democratic socialist system, then you are sadly mistaken. In Sweden, they are known for their historical racism and discrimination against the Sami people. These are the indigenous people that experienced centuries of discrimination in a democratic socialist country like Sweden. Forced assimilation policies, restrictions on their land use, suppression of their language and their culture, and state-sponsored racial biology research during the early 20th century. So I'm giving you examples of these European nations that are used as examples of what democratic socialism can be in America. But these nations that they cite have some of the most egregious racial injustices anywhere on the planet, even though they are democratic socialist countries. And this is why, even in the most recent U.S. Senate primary in Michigan, the African-American voters thoroughly rejected El Sayed. Since the 1980s, and especially after the 2015 refugee crisis, segregation has increased in urban areas throughout Sweden. Between 1934 and 1976, Sweden sterilized 63,000 people under laws justified by eugenics. So they're not free of racism, because that, you know, that's what our concern is the blacks. They had ghetto policies. Oh, this is Denmark. Denmark enacted policies targeting neighborhoods with high concentrations of non-white immigrants in a democratic socialist country, so they segregate people too. The measures included mandatory preschool programs, stricter criminal penalties within designated areas of Denmark, and redevelopment that reduced public housing for those that needed it most. Norway. They call this Norwegianization. For over a century, Norway, a democratic socialist country, pursued policies designed to assimilate indigenous people that included discouraging or prohibiting their language, restricting their land ownership, promoting Norwegian cultural identity. Groups such as the Romani and Norwegian travelers also experienced forced assimilation, child removals, and overt discrimination. It goes on and on and on. If somebody argues the Nordic countries prove that democratic socialism eliminates social justice, a balanced response is that no society, even democratic socialist ones, have effectively eliminated racism, ethnic cleansing, ethnic conflict, or social inequality. Democratic socialism is not equipped to do that. It is a white system that will still favor white people. And that is of a zero-sum game for African-Americans, especially black voters, because, you know, racism is top of mind for us. Even countries with expansive welfare states continue to face racial and ethnic discrimination, integration challenges, residential segregation, educational disparities, political polarization over immigration. This suggests that economic institutions alone do not eliminate prejudice or social conflict. Racism and ethnic tensions have persisted under a wide range of economic systems, including democratic socialism. Take a break, come back. I got a chart somewhere. Where my chart at? Is this my, oh yeah, right here. Nope, that's not my chart. Yeah, here it is, here it is. I was curious, because I'm a curious person. What states have the highest graduation rate for African-American students? And, of course, which states have the lowest? So we're going to talk about that next, and some of the answers may shock you. Some may not. We'll talk about the states that have the highest and the lowest high school graduation rates and what we can learn from the states that have the highest. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
If you are expecting black people, you know, the establishment ones, to consider a different kind of politics for the modern era, Because you can very easily explain to black people how current incarnations and current systems don't work. And you can blame capitalism. You can blame a more corporate Democratic Party that sometimes does, in fact, act just like the Republican Party. You can tell us that, like, hey, this is why things are not getting better for you. But what people often fail to do, and this is what you can tell the cultural incompetency of people, because no matter what system that white people are involved in, even if they're talking about changing it for the better, it's still going to have racism built in. So if you want black people to consider a new modality, a new politics, or a new economy, if you don't tell us how it is going to eliminate racism, segregation, discrimination, and resource holding, then we're not going to participate in it. And oftentimes when you talk about these other countries that we hold up in high esteem because of their democratic socialist policies, these are white people countries where white people are taking money from white people and giving it to other white people. Whenever you introduce diversity or whenever you introduce indigenous people, they treat them the exact same way. Forced sterilizations, taking their land, taking their children away from them. It happens in those countries as well. And so if we are familiar with this capitalist system and we've gotten used to it and accustomed to it and have found a way to maneuver within it, we are more comfortable with that than trying an entirely new system, but then having to start over with trying to figure out how we're going to maneuver in a democratic socialist system. It's very, very simple. And also, I'm glad that you brought up what you brought up, Xavier. He's like, are you going to compare democratic socialism to Nazism? Nope. I think that that is far too extreme, but it also is a real common answer when you talk to someone who leans democratic socialist, when a black person really presses them on what democratic socialism does to mitigate racism. It does nothing. So then they got to bring up something extraneous. But I've heard it all. There's nothing I haven't heard, because eventually what's going to happen is this. Black people will be blamed and scapegoated for not voting in whatever number to elect the preferred candidate of the white people. What white people won't do, and we're going to stop this starting with this election cycle because I'm just not going to tolerate it no more. People will blame black people for not voting in a particular way, okay? But they won't say anything to their own friends and their own family members and their own coworkers. I'm talking about people they share a house with, people they might share a bed with, people that they break bread with. They'll let them be Republicans all day long. They won't say nothing to them, but you got to blame black folks when we don't vote in a high number for a democratic socialist. You're insane. Don't put this on us. Nice try. White women vote for Republicans. Talk to them. Well, they don't want to do that. They might offend the white women, but you will call black people every name in the book and blame us for everything. Well, you know, black men voted for Donald Trump. White women, is 191 million of them. You ain't say nothing about them. They didn't even vote. They didn't vote for Kamala. And it's sad because white women had black women fooled. I'm with you, sister girl. We're a sisterhood. You know what they said about y'all under their breath? I think you know. You think that they were going to sacrifice their white opportunities and their white privilege to band together with other women? Women are vicious toward one another. Vicious. You know, here's what's crazy. And I know there's always going to be the exception that speaks up. If one of my guys is successful, yo, we're so happy. When one of your dudes makes it, he got the job, he got the promotion, he finally left that woman. Like, we generally celebrate him. Men celebrate each other's wins. We are happy when we made it. You'll have two female friends. One of them got the job. One of them got the promotion. Her friend will hate her. Well, how did you get that job? I never seen nothing like it. Like, that's not even in us as men. If one of my guys, my people, gets the job, gets the promotion, gets that money, like, come on, dog. That's what we do. I'm cheering for my boy. Let a woman's best friend get the job or get the husband. Oh, you're going to marry him? I guess. I got a buffet of callers right now. I don't even know which direction to go in, boy. And we got another doozy on line three. Ooh, this is, I like choices.
I like line one a lot.
Oh, man. All right.
You better be careful with that one, though.
better, these young girls over here waving at you. Boy, I don't like this now. You better tell them to show some ID at that window.
Wait, so line three, she didn't want to go on air, but she just wanted to shout you out, Sherwin, because she said that you get her through her mornings.
Oh, well, thank you. You get me through my morning, too.
Don't get Jeffrey Epstein. I saw that. Look at that.
Yeah. Hi there. Hi. I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, she looks about 15 years old.
Are you listening right now? Are you? How? If you scan, does the code still work on the window? If you scan that? All right, then I got to turn away. Let's talk to you. Hello. How are you? You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Just a reminder.
What?
Reminder, temperament of these children and prosperity. People are a little traumatized and paranoid, afraid of abandonment and everything. I really might want to push that issue about, you know, changing the way we influence the children to adapt to a civilized society that's opening up in a sense. Starting to fit in. What was Carmelo's issue? Do you want healthy friends? How are children supposed to behave? How do you look at a child after listening to trap music? How does a child communicate in this new time of expression and the feeling of a sense of jubilee, I can imagine, since he's
here. Hang on a second. Hey, Al, how are you?
What's up?
You tell me, Al.
Well, first thing, these young children need their ass beat. That's why downtown is all F up. How is it you don't know what you gonna do? See, if I was over there, we wouldn't need to be putting no station down there. I would be slapping $1,500 tickets, just like Cold Sores from a bad blowjob. Take this $1,500 ticket. Oh, I come down here for violence. Take this ticket, B. How about that? And we're going to put a no trespassing order. And you come down here again, we're going to give your mama a $2,000 ticket. Furthermore, Milwaukee is nothing but one big trick. It's one big bottom, B-I-T-C, and you can say the letter after G. You're sticking all that money downtown. They're coming from River Hill. They're coming from Madison. They're coming from Chicago, spending money. And then they say, thanks for the good time, B. You don't got no toll rolls. You don't got nothing. Nothing. Everybody eating. You trying to get your money off the top. You ain't getting your money off the top because Milwaukee is one big trick. One big trick. Trick here, trick there, trick there. Well, we got to keep doing all this. You have money, you start being a big old trick. And they just a happy trick, a Bojangles trick, just to be a trick. And then on top of this, now we got to put a police station downtown. No, the hell we don't. You slap a no trespassing order and a $1,500 ticket. Violence that be. That's what, but then again, I forgot. We don't know what to do, but we try to stick money downtown. Put up some goddamn toll roads and get your money off the top. It ain't never good being a trick. That's why we say getting pimped. And then when they don't get, oh, I think I need a pay raise. You wouldn't need a pay raise to start being a goddamn trick. Have a good one.
You too. Bye. I just told those young people to scan the QR code so that they could listen to 101.7 The Truth from their mobile devices, and that's what they just did. Just heard that. So let's talk to you know what, DJ, can you hang on? Hang on, DJ. I'm going to take a break because I'm supposed to tell you the states that have the highest African-American graduation rate, but we got a little distracted. I'll give you a little preview. Should I give you a preview? I'll give you the top. No, start the bottom. Wait, what is this? Why is Wisconsin not even on the list? You got to be kidding me. All right. The top, the bottom, north, the bottom 10. No, the top 10 starting with 10. North Dakota has a 90.91% black graduation rate. California has a 91.15% black graduation rate. Arizona has a 91.19% black graduation rate. Colorado, 91%. Texas, 91%. Vermont, 91%. Maryland, just under 92%. New Mexico, 93%. Alaska, 94%. Hawaii, 95%, and the state that has the highest African-American high school graduation rate, it's almost perfect. It is 96.73%, and that's the state of Wyoming. I'm going to take a break, come back, and show you where Wisconsin falls. There are southern states in the Confederacy that are in the Bible Belt that have higher high school graduation rates than the state of Wisconsin. Let's discuss The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Hey, are you looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer and Bailey for What the Business Is, and that's powered by We Energies. Every week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is a proud sponsor of 1017 The Truth, so don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. on the mornings. Truth in the Mornings with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering energy that powers local businesses. Hey, DJ, how are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a while since we've heard from you. What's new?
There's so much new stuff going on. It's hard to even have time to listen in because our communities are fighting against so many battles, so I'm sorry about that.
Apology accepted. What's on your mind?
So, I one of the things that you said that stuck out to me was the blame that gets associated with our communities, and we have been blamed for almost everything that is impacting our community. From food apartheid to grocery store closures to housing disparities to young people being downtown, all these things are related to larger systemic practices that are sometimes hidden and things that we don't know about. And your reference that you mentioned in terms of the disparities or the differences of Confederate states and northern states, I think, is reflective of the dark side of white liberalism. Because we think that just because, we'll just say historically, northern states may have appeared to be more liberal and accepting, it's far easier to hide implications of racism when there's no race-based language present versus having very explicit language. It's easier to fight against those things and actually point to the disparities. But I think my main point here is how we internalize messages. And I know this is something that I reiterate constantly, but even when we talked about the floods and how people were talking about litter, yes, litter can plague our communities. However, it's not the thing that is causing the flooding, and this is a lack of understanding of climate change and how cities are just not prepared to navigate through these things, and it requires a certain level of education that our communities have to be ready to receive, first of all, from people that look like them about the things that plague our neighborhoods. It is far bigger than just somebody throwing something out on the street curb. It's far more larger things that are being stolen from our communities than a piece of fruit at a grocery store. I get frustrated because if we don't stop this mess, we're going to be the ones that perpetuate white supremacy on our own communities. It will be us. We will allow for white supremacy to evolve in a way that it no longer is associated with a race, but it is associated with a practice, which right now it's associated with both. But the practice is now something that our communities are perpetuating on ourselves. So I'll stop there because it'll become a whole 2-hour conversation, but we got to fix this mess. It's getting taken too far.
DJ, before you go.
Yes.
Do you want a radio show? No, I'm serious. Do you want?
I'll get you a show.
You want a show? What's your schedule like?
Can
you uproot your entire life and do radio for a couple hours a day?
I would be open to it. I would.
Are you from Milwaukee?
Can I bring guests? I am from Milwaukee.
Can you bring what?
Ride or die. I'm a Milwaukee Patriot, if you don't know it. I love this city.
Fist in the air. You said, can you? You want to bring somebody? You want to bring something? What do you want to bring?
Can I bring guests on the show?
Absolutely. We wouldn't have it any other way.
I would do it.
Can you find me on social media and send me an inbox on, I don't know, anywhere, Instagram, Facebook, anything?
Yes, right. I will find you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. No, she deserves a show, period. I don't know where we're going to fit her in. Some of the feelings going to get hurt, but she's cold.
Oh, yeah?
You ain't hear that articulation? You know how hard it is to be on a phone and to articulate like that? Man.
Oh, yeah. You hear me was just another night? It's hard for me to articulate.
Yes, it was. Poor thing. She was cold, though. I can listen to her. If there's somebody that I can listen to, because I want, you know what I mean? I want to diversify. We need more people that are super smart. Not, hold on now. Don't. Everybody here is fine. But DJ been calling for years. Every time she say, like, she's one of those people, like, she doesn't call often, but when she does, she changes the whole trajectory of thinking. Because basically what is happening is the paradigm needs to shift. And when you shift the paradigm, then you can reverse the access of the evil that is white supremacy. Let me give you Exhibit A. She just cold with it. Sounds. She got a good radio voice, too.
Oh, it does she?
No, you got to have a good voice. You got to have.
Send your photo in.
No, we're not objectifying her.
Oh, we're not.
Her intelligence is beautiful.
Oh.
And sometimes it's the brains that's the beauty. And her articulation, and she had her tonality. You know what I mean? She had tonal reverberations from her vocal cords.
Hey, you can say whatever you know, however you want to put it.
Wisconsin has one of the worst black graduation rates in the country. We are at 86.5%. Michigan is higher. Indiana is higher. Ohio is higher. Kentucky has a higher high school graduation rate than Wisconsin. Tennessee has a higher graduation rate than Wisconsin. Alabama has a higher black high school graduation rate than Wisconsin. Of course, Georgia, Texas. The black graduation rate in Texas is 91%. In Wisconsin, it's 86%. In Minnesota, it's 83%. In Iowa, it's 83%. The upper Midwest has some of the lowest high school graduation rates for African American students. Thank you guys for listening. The Lunch Break with Ray Nitti and maybe Shannon is up next.